Hi, welcome to Redeem the Commute. I'm Ryan, your host of the Daily Challenges. Today's Thursday, the day we try to apply and live out the topic we've been exploring this week. And this week we've been looking at a pretty challenging story of God about to rescue his people Israel from slavery in Egypt. And unfortunately, it seems like the way he's chosen or has to do this is by threatening to kill the firstborn males of every Egyptian family and even of their livestock. He's been trying to get through to Pharaoh through 9 other plagues already, and Pharaoh hasn't let the people go. He hasn't changed his mind. And so God has warned him that he'll have to intervene in this really horrific way. Now, in a week, we're going to look at a really important aspect of this story. What happens next? How does the nation of Israel survive the death of every firstborn in the land? That's a whole story we'll look at next week, and it will point at Jesus in a very particular way. But I asked you at the end of yesterday, just from the part of the story you know now, how could this possibly point to Jesus? How could there be hope or grace or love or deliverance in this kind of a story, as challenging as it is for us to read? I think where we start to see some sense in this story is when we recognize that at once in this story there is destruction and death, and there is deliverance and new life. This world that we live in, and that these two nations lived in so many thousands of years ago, is not the world as God intended it. God didn't create a world where we should have slavery, oppression, where we should have the kind of violence that supported these enterprises. That is not the world that God created or intended. It's come about because human beings have rebelled against God. There's something in us that makes us push God out of our lives and try to live by our own rules rather than God's. There's something in us called sin that has led to a separation between us and God. And God being the giver of life, when we pushed him out of our lives, we also invited death into our lives. We've all participated in this. People today, people thousands of years ago. Egypt, Israel, both nations, both sides, we're all broken, sinful, fallen human beings who are not what God created us to be, but rather we are what we've made ourselves to be. But that's not who we're always meant to be, not who we were meant to be in the first place. God actually intends to do something about that. God doesn't stand idly by watching the evil and destruction and hate in our world and say, oh, that's great, that's what I wanted. No, God has a plan. God has a plan to do something about it. And in the same way as God looked out at this world with Egypt having enslaved Israel and with Egypt's ruler refusing to let them go, he says he's going to do something about it. He's going to do something about it. He's going to free his people. As we can see in this story, God wants to do something about sin in our lives so it doesn't lead to death. We can see it in how God distinguishes between these two nations. We have a nation that worship all these gods, the God of the sun, the God of fertility, the God of this, the God of that. And we have a nation who worship the one true God who created the entire world and every human. We have these two nations, one that is pushing God away and one that is always trying to draw closer to God. God gives every human being in this story an opportunity to protect themselves from the certain death that comes about from sin. Whether it's early or late, as a child, as an adult, whether it comes to animals or to humans, death is a consequence of sin. And God gives these humans a chance to protect themselves, a chance to be inoculated. He lets them know that it starts with worshiping and respecting and honoring him as God, as the God of the universe, not the God of a particular nation. The nation of Israel, that's who they are. But Pharaoh and the nation he represents continue to push God away, continue to worship other gods, they continue to oppress and enslave others, they continue to laugh in God's face, even as God warns them and gives them ways to protect themselves. One of the later plagues, where hail comes and destroys some of their crops, he even tells them how to protect themselves. Israel protects itself. Egypt doesn't. In the same way in this story, God is going to tell the Israelites how to protect themselves. They will do it. Egypt won't. Egypt will continue to be lovers of sin, while Israel, at least try, to be lovers of God. All Pharaoh has to do is listen to and obey God, but he won't. And so, his firstborn son, the firstborn sons of all his people, and even animals, they all die because one man refuses to worship God. This is like a warning. The firstborn sons of an entire nation die to warn us that we will all die because of our pride and ego that continues to pursue sin and push God away. Egypt is meant to be a lesson to us all. And by contrast, we've got Israel, like God's firstborn nation, who are protected because they turn their hearts toward God. Because they are a nation willing to worship God, willing to trust God, not themselves. So this is a warning for people like us today, because we have a tendency to do that, to trust ourselves more than God. Trust our plans, our ideas, our money, our careers, our skills, whatever it might be, we trust ourselves more than God. And this story is meant to be a warning to us. The only thing that can protect us from death is God himself. And God is offering us this kind of life. He's offering us this kind of protection. He's offering us this protection from death for life, eternal life. But not everyone is willing to humbly accept that gift. Unfortunately, most of us continue to push God away, push him out of our lives, wanting to be our own gods. We want to be our own pharaohs who are like gods to our people, who can do whatever we want, whenever we want, however we want. That's not true freedom. That is an empty life, denying God his place, his central place in our lives for now and for eternity. It is an empty way of life that leads to death, and we see that in Pharaoh's son, in the sons of Egypt, but we don't see it in the sons of Israel. And next week we're going to explore why that is and how that happened, and how that can happen for us today, how we too can be protected from death. Tune in next week for that story. Now, to give us a bit of a sneak peek as to how that's going to happen, though, it's going to happen through the death of God's firstborn son, who will die to protect all of us from the ultimate demise that sin leads to in our lives. So we're going to have to look to Jesus, God's firstborn son, to find our protection from death as well. So here's your question or your challenge for today. What do you think keeps people today from knowing and trusting God instead of themselves? What about you? What keeps you from humbly putting down your pride? I'll have a great discussion. I'll see you tomorrow.